This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Yes, that lion boy's on the right page.
Yeah.
Not that Maggie. Back in town. Look out, old Maggie.
Yeah. On the fan. McMonagle here with you. I got you for 3 hours until 5 o'clock in the warm-up show, 888-808-1019. We got Big Zoo on the other side for the rest of the week, no less. That's right. Fliegelman's off again. But I'm here off two big wins from our baseball teams. I'm going to take your calls on it, 888-808-1019. You heard Alvarez again continues to impress, which is what Marco said, which is always takes me back. That's what they said about me in third grade, the OLPH Dolphins. The first newspaper write-up I ever had. The team is doing well, and Chris McMonagle continues to impress. And I continue to impress. And Alvarez with the two-run bomb. The Mets with a come-from-behind victory, but we got to start, and we'll get to that. We'll get to Elmo. We'll get to backyard baseball. We'll get to whatever else needs to help the Mets continue to play winning baseball as they've won three in a row now, looking to for the series sweep later today. Build momentum, still have a Lindor problem, still have an Alonso problem. But right now, the pitching, the bullpen has really done a great job the last 2 days, and they come from behind and win. But the New York Yankees win in Canada. Thank goodness. I thought we were going to have to make it to 51st state if we were going to get a win. Thankfully, we're okay. The New York Yankees with a big victory, 5-4, over the Toronto Blue Jays to get that first win against the Blue Jays in that building. Snap the 11-game win streak in that building, and it wasn't easy. And as excited as I am, and that's a big win, that was, I know it's not, and the Yankees have had a handful of these. I heard Evan earlier in the day talking about how Saturday against the Atlanta Braves was a, you know, DVD, the championship DVD. I don't even know if those exist anymore. I guess they'll have to. Where are you going to stream or download the championship DVD? Some sort of DVDs are still going to have to exist in this world. But, we've had a couple. The Yankees have had a couple of those, right? Being no hit through seven and then rallying for five runs. That's a championship DVD. Saturday being down 5-0, 7-2, rallying back, grand slam. That's a championship DVD. Well, there's a lot of stuff you'd still like to cut out of the championship DVD from this game, but ultimately, what a huge win for the New York Yankees to avoid losing this series, at least for a day, and we'll see how important tonight now is, but to get this victory after blowing it in the sixth with some of the same ills And we have to have a conversation about Volpe because, again, with a brutal error that leads to a game-tying two-run sixth inning. But ultimately, the New York Yankees get off the deck. It starts with Schlittler, who is making his second career start in a very high-pressure situation. This game, this series, we talked about how important it is. Yankees lose this game. Yankees lose later today. You are talking about c'est la vie to the division. That's not hyperbole. That's not overstating it. I know it's July. I was pacing since the first pitch of the inning. I hardly sat down. My wife was, she was like, this is World Series, Chris. Why is World Series, Chris, in my living room right now? Because this series matters. These games are important. And to throw Schlittler out there for his second career start against this Blue Jays team that is very difficult to deal with a very good lineup that puts the ball in play, doesn't strike out a lot, makes contact, foul balls. We've seen it over the last 2 days. And for Schlittler to go out there without real command, if you saw it early, that's what, and you know what? It's one of those things where you look at it and it concerns you, but to watch him battle through, like that's a poise. That didn't look like a rookie pitcher to me. Now, I know he's got the fastball and the stuff to kind of get it by people in the strike zone, but you look at Schlittler's start in this game, he couldn't throw anything except a fastball for a strike. And as we're talking about the trade deadline, and we will here on The Fan at 888-808-1019, and Jack Curry dropped some news in the postgame that is very prevalent to the trade deadline. But as we talk about the possibility of Cam Schlittler being involved in some of these trades to maybe fix a rotation or fix a bullpen or add a third baseman, and would you do it for rentals? And the conversations we've been having, watching this young kid, and it's not just about the 98-mile-an-hour fastball. This dude couldn't throw anything except his fastball for a strike in the first two innings of this game. And yet he was able to get through and navigate this very difficult Toronto Blue Jays team where they are playing as well as anyone in baseball, maybe this side of Milwaukee. And in a building, they had already set a franchise record, 11 consecutive victories at home for this Blue Jays team who have owned the New York Yankees. And to get through that lineup, get in a little bit of trouble, have some guys on, walk some guys, not have real good command, and still be able to give the Yankees the five innings that he was able to give them, that is a really impressive kind of, you know, mature start from a young kid who you can tell when it's on, he'll have really good stuff, but to battle through against this team and keep the Yankees in the game after Jazz, who I posted, you know, every once in a while I'll throw it out there. I don't normally post my wins and losses because there are plenty of losses out there. But I did nail Jazz Chisholm hitting a home run in this game as he comes through, sets the tone right away. Before Schlittler even sees the mound, the Yankees have a 3-0 lead, which is a huge response. Desperate. You know, we'll get to Aaron Boone and his interview with John Boy and some of the emotions that he showed. People want to call it a temper tantrum. Or a hissy fit have been some of the words I've seen. We'll get into it and what I thought about Aaron Boone going off in John Boy Media and being emotional and being confrontational and getting annoyed. But you come off of that performance last night where the offense does absolutely nothing, or two nights ago now. The offense does absolutely nothing, scores one run on a Stanton home run. That's it. You have the two errors from the third baseman, Peraza, and from obviously Anthony Volpe. You lose that game in ugly fashion, in depressing fashion, in the same fashion you have lost so many games. To come out right out of the gate, and to have Bellinger, who again is incredible in this game, two doubles, a home run. And I know we're fixated on him not playing the other night. I think he obviously moving forward should play every day. We understood, at least some of us did, I did. You know, Evan Roberts did. You understand why, with the numbers he had against Gausman, you sat him out the other night. Shouldn't have done it. Shouldn't do it again. The guy has been incredible. He's making sliding shoestring catches in the outfield again. He has two doubles. He sets them up in the first with a double to make it second and third. And we talk so much about protecting Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge has not had a good series in Toronto. He's been walked. He's been pitched around. And you can tell, not only... And I've been meaning to talk about this. Not only is pitching around Aaron Judge a tried and proven way to go about it, it also messes up Judge because he doesn't know how you're going to attack him. And if you consistently walk him, but when you pitch him, be aggressive with him, Aaron Judge doesn't know what's coming. He doesn't know how they're going to try and pitch to him when you walk him at every chance you get. When he is pitched to, he has struggled in the series. There is no doubt. He strikes out in that first at-bat with second and third, and you are thinking to yourself, and then Jazz gets two strikes on him, and you are thinking, here we go. What a freaking disaster. Second and third, nothing doing. Jazz has got two strikes on him already. We're going to let Scherzer off the hook, and then he absolutely pounds a three-run shot to give the Yankees a 3-0 lead and give Cam Schlittler that opportunity to settle in. He ends up giving up a first-inning run, but he's settled in. That first run doesn't put the Yankees down. That first run doesn't put all the pressure on the New York Yankees to go out there and have to come from behind. That Jazz three-run home run was an enormous hit. An enormous hit. And it gave Cam Schlittler an opportunity to kind of ease in when he really didn't have his good stuff, couldn't locate. Every slider was up in the zone, up in the zone. He got a strikeout on it against Bichette, but he really couldn't get that slider moving down and away. Everything was up. He relied solely on his fastball the first couple of innings, and to still be able to do that, to have the stuff at 98, 99, 97, to have the stuff to get past guys like Bichette, guys like Springer, guys like Vladimir Guerrero Jr., to be able to have only one pitch at times that you could throw for a strike and still have that fastball good enough to get past Kirk and all these guys who have killed the Yankees this year, that is what you're talking about when you're looking at stuff. That is what Luis Gil is capable of doing, and hopefully he'll come back. And what we're seeing Cam Schlittler being able to do, dominate, be able to beat you inside the strike zone. So many of the Yankee pitchers, especially bullpen, so many of the Yankee pitchers can't beat you inside the strike zone. This dude, when he's behind, he can throw fastballs. When he can't locate his breaking stuff, he can throw fastballs and put them in the zone and still beat some of the better hitters and some of the better offenses in baseball. At least he's proven that or shown that last night. So it was a very important performance from Cam Schlittler, who has settled things down early. The big home run from Jazz in the first inning to kind of give the Yankees breathing room was an enormous hit. You get the doubles from, obviously, Bellinger. And then Bellinger, like, golfs a slider down for a home run. A monster game for him, giving the Yankees a 4-1 lead. And then you get to the same crap the Yankees are dealing with. Because even in the victory, and don't get me wrong, that was a huge win for the New York Yankees. With an opportunity to go win the series tomorrow, or later today rather, with their ace on the mound, Max Fried. And we'll get to that in a second, and his finger issues. And we'll see how good we expect Max Fried to be in his first start of the second half. But an opportunity to go win a series, and we'll forget the other night. We'll forget the ugly loss. We'll forget the errors from Anthony Volpe. You got to go take this series, and that is on the table because of last night and then obviously the Ben Rice home run. And Ben Rice, who has been extremely unlucky, and I will say that, extremely unlucky. He has hit the ball hard. He has done a really good job. He's one of the guys in the shuffle. He's not getting consistent playing time. But for him to come through as the game is tied 4-4, knowing the Yankees' bullpen is down to Weaver and Williams, and then God knows what. Like, honestly, Winans was going to have to throw however many innings. And you knew that if the New York Yankees got into extra innings, if the New York Yankees got through Weaver and Williams without winning this game, there was no shot in hell the Yankees were winning. And for him to take a first-pitch fastball off of the closer, Hoffman, who's done a really good job for the Blue Jays, who dominated last night, who ended the game with Rice looking at a fastball right down the middle, for him to hit that home run and give the Yankees the lead, what an absolute clutch, one of the biggest home runs, clearly the biggest home run of Ben Rice's career, one of, if not the biggest home run of the season. And to do it in that spot, in that manner, with a bomb of a home run, knowing you were going to Devin Williams next as your last real arm out of the bullpen before throwing it over to minor leaguers or God knows what at the bottom of this barrel of their bullpen, that was an enormous home run. And then you go to Devin Williams, who has been, even at his best for the most part, and his numbers have been really good, I don't mind some of the home runs he gave up with big leads because you don't want to walk people. So, but over the last couple of performances and saves, he went in with a three-run lead, gave up a run because he doesn't want to walk people, and he challenged Acuña, and he challenged some guys, and he gave up some runs. But even at his best, has been a bit shaky this year. And he goes in there in the most, that is, in Toronto, in the situation they're in, what an enormous spot for Devin Williams to try and prove himself. He gives up the opposite field, little ground ball to Vladimir Guerrero Jr. And in that moment, all of us believe the game is going sideways. All of us believe it. You know you believed it. I believed it. That game is going sideways. And for Devin Williams to then strike out Bichette, for Devin Williams to go through that inning, strike out Kirk to end it. And yes, there was a scare. Barger hits one to the opposite field. I thought for sure that was a double in the gap. Say goodbye to the lead. So did Devin Williams. But there is Bellinger to make the catch. Huge save from Devin Williams. Huge. And the Yankees get a win they were in desperate need for, with an opportunity to go take a series that will cure all the ills. Winning cures all. And if they can go into this series in Toronto and take 2 of 3 and cut a 3-game deficit where it is right now to a 2-game deficit as they're about to take on, Philadelphia and Tampa Bay before the trade deadline, and then get a hell of a lot of an easier schedule, and get into this too at 888-808-1009, a hell of a lot of an easier schedule moving forward into September, this would be a huge, huge, massive win for the New York Yankees later today. But we can't go through a game without talking about the problems of this team. And we'll get to the bullpen in a little bit, but we have to talk about Anthony Volpe. Anthony Volpe in the 6th inning has a ground ball hit right to him. Tim Hill comes into the game. You know he's their only lefty. They pinch hit the right-handed Straw to face him. He gets the ground ball to start a very important inning because you know how limited they are in the bullpen. It is a ground ball directly to Anthony Volpe. Anthony Volpe right now is broken. And I don't know if he's injured. And I know there's a lot of speculation now because of Meredith mentioning the shoulder, and that's not the throwing shoulder that he's been icing, as Boone clarified in his John Boy interview. But I don't know if he's hurt. I don't know if he's mentally broken. But the New York Yankees, and I have defended, I know people love telling me, I haven't defended him for a month, but nobody remembers that. But I have defended Anthony Volpe at times. And I got on Aaron Boone for his asinine comments after the game yesterday, talking about how he's still elite. And I got on, and I'll get on Aaron Boone, still talking to John Boy Media about how he is still currently elite. You want to tell me he used to be? Fine. You want to tell me you can believe he will be starting tomorrow? Fine. But you can't tell me what we're watching as an average graph. That is as simple a play as you could possibly have in the most important game of the season with a 2-run lead, knowing that the bullpen is paper thin right now. Devin Williams now is not going to be able to pitch in the finale today going 3 out of 4. There is no way they're going to him tomorrow. Like, you need every run, every ounce of a lead. You need to save every bullet in that bullpen. And to have the most routine of plays be thrown away in the dirt. Now, could Ben Rice make the scoop? Sure he could. If Goldie was there, would he have made the scoop? He probably would have. But throw it to his chest. That was as simple a throw as you can have, and he can't make it. Now, he made a really nice play. I believe it was in the 1st inning, up the middle, made a really nice play. Boone talks about him being rangy and making good plays. His glove isn't the issue, and I don't think his range is the issue. He gets to a lot of balls that other defenders don't get to. Fine, maybe that's not even true, but I'll give it to him for the sake of this argument. But he can't throw. He makes a very nice play up the middle on the sexy double play that they turned in a huge spot to get Cam Schlittler out of a jam there. 1st and 2nd, nobody out, and he gets Bichette to ground up the middle, and they turn a really nice double play. It's a good job of Volpe to get to it. He gives him a good toss. Barehanded catch from Jazz turns to really nice play. It felt good to watch because they've been sloppy defensively in the infield. To see that kind of dazzling double play was really nice. And then just as you're about to feel good about him defensively, he throws away what is an obvious, most basic fundamental play that a shortstop can have. It leads to two runs and a tie game. We'll get to Jonathan Loaisiga because I can't do everything in the open. But the New York Yankees, and I don't care what they say publicly, they know it. They might not think they have an option to fix it. They don't want to admit it publicly. But you can't watch the way Anthony Volpe threw the ball away in the first game of the series, threw the ball away last night, that nearly cost them the most important game of the season. You can't tell me the New York Yankees, the manager, the GM, and everybody else around this ball club doesn't understand that they have a problem with Anthony Volpe. And I have defended him, and I've continued to say that I don't know what the Yankees can do, that he gets the season, that will in the next year he cannot be the shortstop of the New York Yankees, and I'll continue to say that. But right now, if the New York Yankees have a shortstop who has been hitting 150 for the last month, who can't make routine plays and routine throws, that is not feasible for the rest of the season. So the New York Yankees and the manager who loves to defend him, the manager who blatantly lied to us about how good Anthony Volpe is currently, has to look himself in the mirror and ask, if the New York Yankees chasing a championship, hopefully two games, possibly four games back after tomorrow, chasing a division, chasing a pennant, chasing a World Series championship, can you have an under 200 hitter who can't make routine throws at shortstop on a daily basis? Can you? Is that acceptable for the New York Yankees? I like the kid. I think he's better than this. I'm not sure why he's performing so poorly. Every metric that he's down on was better the last 2 years. He is better than what he has been showing. But how long can you roll him out there when he can't make the play that we saw last night? This wasn't a play in the hole and a long jump throw. This wasn't up the middle and a spin and spinorama and throw it. This was as simple a play as a Major League Baseball player is lucky enough to have in front of him. And he can't hit anybody in the chest. It is a massive problem for the New York Yankees, and it's getting worse by the day. Some of his at-bats were atrocious. I'll go through some of his at-bats. Taking fastballs down the middle, swinging at sliders off the plate, behind on 93-mile-an-hour fastballs and 2-0 counts. Like, his at-bats are terrible. His defense has gotten to the point where he can't make throws, and he damn near cost the Yankees the biggest win of the season. It can't happen. It cannot happen. And the Yankees can tell us all they want publicly. They know it. Because I know a lot of you think different. They're not stupid. Aaron Boone is not an idiot. Brian Cashman is not an idiot. They're well aware, even if they don't want to let you in on it. That needs to change. But they do have an opportunity with their ace on the mound later today to go and take the biggest series of the year, cut the division lead to two, or deficit to two, go out there and go on a run here and try and crawl back into the light and get back into first place and get back into the hearts of the Yankee fan and get back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Back into the contention of being a real World Series contender. 888-808-1019. So a huge game for the Yankees. We will get to the Mets, who had a very nice win as well. Come from behind victory. And Alvarez and what he is doing since he's come back, and the way he just backlegged that sumbitch and hit that ball out to left field. That was an impressive swing. I like to quote Boomer Esiason every once in a while. But, I mean, that was just a really impressive swing. He stayed back, used every bit of that leverage, and crushed the ball to left field to get that second, get that home run, tie the game at two. And the Met bullpen does its job from there. Another base hit from Nimmo, just enough to get a very good win, take a series against the Angels, and looking for a sweep later today, this afternoon, before going out west for an important run leading into the trade deadline. So we got all the trade deadline news to get to. Jack Curry and his comments after the game and how that impacts the Yankees trade deadline. The problem with Anthony Volpe, the Met victory. Football is back. We'll get to some of the comments made from the New York Jets and Giants. And then apparently, and I don't know how I missed this being such an uproar, Derek Jeter not there for Old Timers Day has become a thing. Yeah, I got an opinion on that too. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Quick break. Your call's next right here on The Fan. The great Ozzy Osbourne, who unfortunately passed away yesterday at the age of, 76. 76 years old. I grew up, I talk about this a lot. My father was a huge music guy, fancied himself as a little bit of a musician. And, you know, I know I'm a big Beatles guy, but, I mean, Led Zeppelin, Black Sabbath, The Who, The Doors. I mean, that's just what I grew up on. And so I like a lot of the Black Sabbath stuff more than I'm into, or at least know, you know, a lot of his solo career, you know, Crazy Train and everything. But I'm Coming Home. But a lot of my family, my Uncle Peter was a huge Ozzy guy. He used to dress like him for Halloween and stuff. And one of just the great, interesting characters. I mean, the stories of, you know, biting the bat's head off in the meeting with his record company and the craziness that ensued with him. And then we all got to know him on a personal level with the MTV show, with him and his family, and realize he's just kind of, you know, a little bit different, but a guy just like us. And you couldn't understand a word he said, and then he would sing and you're like, oh, okay, I get it. Yeah, I can hear everything he says when he sings. But one of the great, you know, lead kind of crazy men. Black Sabbath has so many good songs. And just, you know, one of those guys who was a huge, huge cultural figure. And very sad to hear his passing. I know he had Parkinson's. We just saw he just performed his last concert a week ago. Maybe a little bit more than that. I don't know. But he was sitting in that big throne and he couldn't get up. And he had some sort of back issue outside of his Parkinson's, that he said getting that fixed really made everything for him worse. And then we get the news yesterday that he passes away at the age of 76. So rest in peace, Ozzy. A madman, a crazy man, a great lead vocalist, a great, you know, front man. And just one of those cultural icons that, you know, so many different people, my parents' age, my uncle's age, really connected with. So, just one of those unique individuals who transcended music a little bit, because there aren't a ton of hits, but he's just one of those guys who just transcended music a little bit. So rest in peace to Ozzy Osbourne.
Absolutely, bro. I mean, there's no other way to say it other than that. And to your point, you talk about the humanization of him through all those shows on MTV and whatnot. I remember watching the original documentaries or whatever it was, docuseries, you know, reality show with him and the family when I was growing up with my parents. They bought the whole DVD set, speaking of DVDs.
Really? Yeah, yeah.
But even to bring it to present day, I remember a few years ago, they did a show, him and Jack, and I think Kelly would be on it, and they would go traveling around the country and showing Ozzy all the great things of, you know, in America and the world, and it was phenomenal. It was just, it was beautiful, bro.
Yeah, no, he was
the humanization, bro. Once you
definitely
see that,
he became, he was kind of the madman who, you know, obviously had drug issues, and obviously Sharon stuck with him through all of it. I mean, it's very, you know, the womanizing, the drugs, the whatever else, and she was always there with him. And then to, like, get to know him, and he's just, like, you know, dotering around the house and, you know, pointing things out and, you know, tripped over the dog and everything else that went with just seeing him as a human, definitely. And that show was huge. That was one of those real big, like, everybody watched. Like, the Real World, and then obviously the Jersey Shore kind of took off for a time. But I would say it was one of the more successful, or at least more culturally iconic, that everybody watched and everybody referenced, you know, reality shows of its time, without question.
It started the reality TV, that and the Real World.
Yeah, right? It's one of the two bigger pioneers of the entire reality show kind of genre. So, rest in peace to Ozzy. We'll play some music. I have a couple of my favorites that will play throughout the show in honor of Ozzy Osbourne, who, like me, was an enormous Beatles fan. So just letting you know, if you're one of those people who think the Beatles played a bunch of sappy whatever kind of songs and they're overrated, and you prefer the heavy rock of Led Zeppelin or The Doors or The Who or obviously Black Sabbath and Ozzy Osbourne, just know, Ozzy Osbourne was completely and utterly inspired by the Beatles. And there would be no Ozzy Osbourne. There would be no Black Sabbath. Hell, there probably wouldn't be a lot of the bands you love without the Beatles. Just have to throw it in there. We're talking music, I got to throw it in there. It's just the truth. And I guess we got to talk about Paul McCartney, because there is some bad news kind of hovering around Paul McCartney. Not as bad as what's going on with Ozzy, thankfully. But a lot of discussion. Remember all the stuff with the Taylor Swift and the concert tickets and how crazy they were? Well, there's a lot of Paul McCartney tickets being thought to be extremely expensive. Extremely expensive.
And I saw the get-in price was $1,500 in L.A. or something.
I know. It's something. It's really crazy.
And that's in a stadium.
No, I know. It's. I was looking at some of the prices. It's very expensive just to get in and sit in some of the $1,500. So you could find better than that in some of the different venues. I know L.A. might be that. But still, no, I mean, you're looking at upwards of at least $800 to get into almost any of his concerts.
And you're not even at MSG. Like, no. That's the thing. If you're at MSG, at least you're in the arena. One, I think seeing it in an arena is better anyway.
Yeah, sure. But the acoustics are better.
Sit all the way up.
Yeah, I know. To sit in an 75,000 to 80,000 seat arena in the nosebleeds as far away as you could possibly be from him and still pay upwards of $800 to $1,500 just to sit in the worst seats in the house, that's cuckoo. I love my man Paul, and I don't know if it's his fault necessarily or he has anything to do with it, but a lot of news around there. But not enough of that. We're talking baseball here. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan, and obviously coming off an enormous win for the New York Yankees. And we'll get to let's just get to Jack Curry's comments right now. So pretty much Jack Curry, who, let's be totally honest, right? I think a lot of the Cuddy, you know, all the Hoke, all the different guys who cover the Yankees, they all do a great job. Chris Kirschner, a lot of them, all of them. They all do really good jobs. But I think most people believe Jack Curry is the voice piece of the New York Yankees, doing the pregame and postgame show for Yes. He is the guy we listen to. He is the guy who his word is bond when talking about the New York Yankees. So obviously, there's been a lot of speculation about Suarez, and I've talked about Suarez. The Yankees clearly, watching these two games and just looking at them, like, the Yankees clearly need an upgrade at third base. But I have been adamant about the idea of, not that I don't like Suarez, the best option is Suarez. The best third baseman that the New York Yankees could bring in. Don't tell me he hits too many home runs. Don't tell me he's not great defensively. Don't tell me he'd rather have a slap hitter. Don't tell me he'd rather have all, you know, like, I appreciate that fact. And sure, the Yankees could use a slap hitter. Absolutely. But the dude's got 36 home runs. He's one of the he's having the best year of his career, and that's all you're getting him for. It's not like you're looking for him for a long term, and that's part of the problem. But, like, right now he's a monster. Why wouldn't the hell wouldn't you want to bring in a monster to this team? So, yeah, ideally, if I were to wake up tomorrow and you just say, you know, genie came down and gave me three wishes. I know that genies don't come down. I always say that. You got to rub the lamp. Say, you know, I found the lamp. Say, I'm the diamond in the rough, which I may very well be. Say they let me in the Cave of Wonders and I got the lamp and me and the magic carpet and Abu got the hell out of there just in time and I got a chance to get three wishes. Yeah. Suarez is the third baseman, is the best option for the New York Yankees. He's the best player. But herein lies the issue. What are you going to have to give up for a guy who's hitting 36 home runs for a rental? And as much as I would love that, we didn't even get into the idea of how bad the bullpen was last night and what the hell is going on with Jonathan Loaisiga, who is atrocious. And right now, they don't. I mean, we're waiting still on. There was some word that he was going to be with in the Toronto series. He hasn't been, but we're still waiting on Leiter. Who knows how long Cruz is going to be gone with an oblique injury. Right now, this bullpen is paper thin. There is Hill. There is Weaver. There is Williams. That's it. Anybody else? Anybody else that Aaron Boone calls on is dangerous. Is scary as hell. The Yankees are far more in desperate need of a bullpen arm than they are a third baseman. And quite honestly, I don't know what Luis Gil is going to be. I don't know how Will Warren's going to pitch down the stretch. And I can't lay my hopes on Cam Schlittler as much as I'd like to. And, you know, the idea of moving him even necessarily doesn't sound appealing to me for a rental, but you got to be willing to give to get on some angle. And for me, I'm just saying. Now, I don't know what else is going to be out there. I don't know how easy it's going to be to get a reliever, how easy it's going to be to get a starter, the appetite the Yankees have for starters without control or rentals or whatever. But those are the places I'd rather use my chips. And if I'm not going to trade Cam Schlittler for a rental, and I'm not going to trade Spencer Jones for a rental, which they shouldn't, and I'm not going to trade Lombard for a rental, which they shouldn't, and I'm not going to trade Dominguez for a rental, and they shouldn't. I only have so many chips. The Yankees farm system, while better than people will tell you it is certainly not that deep. So any chips I have, any guys I'm willing to trade for rentals, I don't know if I can just use them on a top-level third baseman when clearly, yeah, I'd like a third baseman, but this offense we've seen be explosive. You got how many different guys with 800 OPS? You got Jazz Chisholm and what he's been doing, Bellinger and what he's been doing, Ben Rice and what he's capable of, Grisham and what he's doing, obviously the best hitter in the world, and Aaron Judge. Goldie's been hitting 300 over the last, you know, month or so after really being cold for 2 months. Like, they've got offense. It's not great. It's not perfect. It still will scare me in the postseason, but I just need an upgrade at third base. I need a professional fielder, a professional hitter. If I'm going to use my chips that I'm willing to use on rentals, I'd rather use them for the bullpen and the rotation. I think they need pitching more. Who do they? They can't bring in anyone into the game. If Ben Rice doesn't hit the home run, they lose. They lose because who else are you bringing in? You go through Hill, you go through Weaver, you go through Williams. Forget about it. They got nobody else. Now we'll see if guys come back. We'll see if you can transition Cam Schlittler into the bullpen. Sure. And no doubt over the last couple days, third base has, you know, reared its ugly head and you need better. But I can live with McMahon. I can live with, you know, other options at third base in my mind. But the news has been over the last couple of weeks that the Yankees are hot and heavy and maybe the most hot and heavy of any other team out there for Suarez. And you had, you know, even Ricky Ricardo talking about that they're somewhat down the line and really heavy, you know, talking heavy with a package that would bring back Merrill Kelly and Beeks, the reliever, and Suarez, the third baseman from Arizona. And it was Schlittler and a bunch of other prospects, not named Spencer Jones or Lombard or Dominguez, obviously. But those have been the reports. And as much as I respect, you know, Ricky Ricardo, and he's certainly not making it up, he's hearing it from somewhere. I just, as much as I love Ricky, and I do, I think he does a great job, and he's in touch as well. Jack Curry is the cream of the crop of guys who have the ear of the New York Yankees and who the New York Yankees talk to. And in the post game last night, Jack Curry said, "I know the Yankees have not had substantive conversations with the Diamondbacks going forward on Suarez. There have been some reports out there that have been erroneous, some connecting the Yankees to players that they don't have any interest in. You talk about a guy like Suarez. I know the Yankees have not had substantive conversations with the Diamondbacks going forward. We'll see if that does occur. But we do know Cashman and his front office are working very hard because when a GM sits out there and says, these are the things I'm trying to do, they're going to try and do it tirelessly. We'll see what happens with the rest of this deadline." So that's the full quote from Jack Curry. They have not had any substantive talks with Suarez. I would love Suarez. He would be the best addition this offense could get. But is the offense real? And I know they lose because of offense. I get it. In the postseason, they lose because of offense. And I know I've said this over the last week, and I'll still challenge anybody who wants to call me up. You could argue the World Series, sure. Gleyber Torres not fielding the ball. Gleyber Torres wasn't a good defensive player. But Gleyber Torres not fielding that throw from Soto leads to the tying run in game one. And then we all saw what happened in the fifth inning. Judge dropped the ball. I wouldn't consider that part of the issues the Yankees have. But we have seen the sloppy play bite them in the ass in the World Series. Outside of that, give me another big-time series, a playoff series, that the Yankees have lost the series or a significant game because they played sloppy baseball. Where is the huge error? Where is the critical easy mistake? Where is the base-running blunder? Where is the, you know, sloppy boony ball, as people like to call it? Where is that that cost the Yankees a series? Because almost exclusively, this is going back to the 2003 World Series, the Yankees lose because they don't score enough runs. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. That's almost exclusively. You want to throw the World Series into the sloppy play ball? I'm with you. And especially because the Dodgers came out and said that's how they attacked them? Fine. I'll give you the World Series. A lot of the sloppiness of last year's team came back and bit them in the ass in the World Series. In the World Series, mind you. As they went 8-2 in the American League playoffs. But we don't care about that. I get you. But they haven't lost series time and time again, as people would like to tell you. Oh, it's always why they lose. It's always why they lose. It's almost never why they lose. They lose because they don't hit. And they don't come through with clutch hits. And in the last two postseasons, Judge has done absolutely nothing. That's why they lose. That's why they lost with Joe Torre, because Alex Rodriguez did nothing. That's why they lost. They lost in 2004 because the offense went cold. Alex Rodriguez stopped hitting, and they had no pitching depth. And they were throwing out, you know, while the Red Sox were throwing out borderline Hall of Famers, the Yankees were throwing out, you know, Lieber and, you know, Kevin Brown at the end of his career. And Javi Vasquez. That's why they lost. And then 2005, Alex Rodriguez doesn't hit. Team doesn't hit against the Angels. Oh, and they had sloppy play like Gary Sheffield and Bubba Crosby running into each other cost them a game. And that was a team led by Joe Torre. 2006, Alex Rodriguez is so bad, they move him to eighth in the lineup. They can't hit Kenny Rogers and the pine tar all over his face and neck. 2007, can't hit Festo, I just had his name on the tip of my tongue. It ended up being a different name that he changed his name to later in life. Festo Carmona? I feel like that's it. But can't hit Cleveland. That's why they lose in 07. I mean, this goes back a long time not scoring runs, so I get it. And I want to prioritize offense. But watching this particular club, watching, you know, the Yankees consistently going to Jonathan Loaisiga in critical moments, like, they need bullpen help. They need pitching. And I'm not wasting all my bullets on the best possible rental in Suarez when I'd rather just get a McMahon, come here, have a 700 OPS, and play excellent defense. I'll live with that. I'll live with that. And it sounds like the Yankees will live with it too, as I don't know if Suarez is on the is in the cards the way Jack Curry talked last night in the postgame. Anything can change. We'll see how it goes. But they definitely need an upgrade at third base, but they need bullpen arms. You watched this game last night. Yes, we talked about it 100%. Anthony Volpe, an error that cannot happen. And for me, that was the one. Last night was the one where I just watch it and I go, that is the easiest play a shortstop can make. It doesn't get easier than that. It's not. That's the easiest of throws. It was kind of up towards second base. Like, it's as close as you're going to get. It's as easy a play. And he can't hit the first baseman in the chest. Can't do it. How long can you throw out a shortstop who can't make the easiest of throws? Like, I just don't know how long you can do it. And I've been hesitant to say that. Last night, when they damn near blew the biggest game of the season, I'm at the point where we might have to consider, the Yankees might have to honestly consider adding shortstop to the list of needs they have at the trade deadline. That's how bad it was. But bullpen help? They're desperate. They're desperate. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. Quick break. We'll come back. Take your phone calls. We'll get into the Mets as well and Alvarez and the two-run home run from him and the taking of the first two games of this Angel series and everything else with it. Apparently, the Mets are unable. And I don't want to say that because you're going to call me mocking them. But they love having some sort of shtick to hang on to more than Pete Alonso loves doing the home run derby. The Mets just love, and listen, last year it worked. And I think I saw the guy, was it the rally pimp who was like, you know, dressed up as like the character that he kind of looked like the character that Mike Myers used to play on Saturday Night Live, where it would be like, you know, Rhode Island is neither a road nor an island. Discuss amongst yourselves. That, you know, we park in a driveway and drive on a parkway. Discuss amongst yourselves.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app, and this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
But Grimace and everything helped last year. We'll see if Elmo can help this year. 888 808-1019. McMonagle here with you. It helps more when Alvarez comes back from the minors, making good tags at home plate and hitting two-run bombs to tie the game. 888-808-1019. Quick break. McMonagle here with you. We'll come right back. Take your calls right here on The Fan. Marco, big Ozzie guy?
I did like Ozzy. Sabbath,
yes.
Yep.
Sabbath, sure. That's, and I'm more of a, because again, a lot of my musical taste came from my father. He gave me no choice. So I am much more of the Black Sabbath Ozzy than I am later career Crazy Train Ozzy. So most of my stuff that I know from is like War Pigs is my favorite Ozzy song, if you want to call it. It's a Black Sabbath song.
Right.
But, you know, Paranoid, Fairies Wear Boots is another song I really like. But, I would like when you were growing up, were you listening to, I'm trying to think how old you are. What are you, 60?
Wow.
55?
Damn.
When you were growing up. When you were growing up, was there like new Ozzy music that you were into? Was it cool to be an Ozzy guy?
Yeah. I mean, Blizzard of Oz was in my lifetime. I mean, when Ozzy had that, like, whatever the video was that he looked like, the guy from Dallas with like the hat and the suit. There's the meme that's still out there with like the thumbs up. Like, I remember that. I remember that Ozzy. So yeah, there was that. There was, I mean, I had a bunch of that stuff when I was a kid and, and growing up. And I saw them, I saw Ozzy, just Ozzy, maybe.
Was it Ozfest? Is that
I was at a couple of Ozfests.
Yeah.
And I want to say one of them was just him solo. One of them was him, Black Sabbath. I remember seeing a show, Black Sabbath and Pantera opened for him. That was a monster show.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago, though, 25, 30 years ago.
Sure.
They were good. The only thing I was disappointed, there was one Ozfest that I remember, I think he was alone. He came on and he does his, you know, he did the leapfrog, which he did a lot of live and go crazy. That was his big line.
Yeah.
He played for maybe 20 minutes. He sprayed the hose on everybody. And then he like bolted and it was like, that's it. Everybody get out.
Really?
I think he's, I don't know if he was shot. I don't know if his voice was shot.
Yeah.
But I remember my brother walking out, and he was like, oh, I didn't even bark at the moon. Like, he really, he played like three songs, and he bounced on us. You know, when you're there all day for Ozfest, you kind
of
want Ozzy to,
of course,
you know, bring the house down. And he was just kind of like, get out, everybody.
Oh, my God, that's funny. And then, obviously, he takes on a role a little bit different culturally-wise after his reality show. And I don't know, like, I wonder, that's gold, right? Terrific. I wonder if there's a lot of Ozzy fans out there who, like, are... You know, didn't like the idea that he kind of became humanized and was like, you know, the old man going around the house making sure he doesn't trip over the dog and, you know, everything like that. Like, I wonder how many, like, if diehard Ozzy fans were like, this isn't Ozzy. Ozzy's biting the heads off bats and going crazy.
But
why am I watching this?
But that's the thing.
No,
like,
I agree with you.
If you were a diehard Ozzy guy, like, to me, like, if you didn't realize that that's who he was on top of everything else, if you thought it was just, I mean, biting the heads off, like, stop.
Yeah.
Like, you knew he was what he was, which was a mess, but it was a great mess. It was a tremendous mess.
Yeah, it was
there's nothing
show.
Better than that.
No.
I mean, there's a documentary out there somewhere I remember where he was like, somebody get me something to drink. And the guy's like, you want a glass of water? He looks at me, water. Like, it was like, what is this liquid? What am I going to do with this? Like, that's Ozzy. If you didn't know that, and that, never mind humanize, it just got a chance to like open the curtain so we can watch him other than when he's on stage.
Yeah.
Come on. And I'm not a big reality guy.
No,
reality show guy.
Me neither.
That was tremendous.
Yeah, it was great. It was really great just to see the dynamic of the family and everything. And now I still see them, and I'm like, oh, that's right. Like, I shouldn't know Jack Osbourne as well as I do, but I'm like, oh, yeah, that's Jack Osbourne. I could pick him out. Like, that show was one of those, I'm trying to think, it was like kind of the pioneer of, it was the Real World. That, I know, I'm trying to think of other ones who became really, really popular. Like, some of the other ones I don't like, obviously, the Trump one, like, those are different than reality shows.
No, that's,
like, those are contests.
Yeah.
And what was the name of that show? You're Fired and everything.
Was that The Apprentice?
The Apprentice, right. The Apprentice, that was, like, a different thing. The Real World, that, and then, obviously, the Jersey Shore took off for a while. I wasn't the biggest Jersey Shore
guy. Yeah, I didn't watch that.
But that was more in my time frame. All my buddies watched it. But, yeah, that was like one of the first real big.
Yeah, I don't even know what year that was. Was that late 90s, early 2000s?
It's
got
to be
like
2002, 2003, I would say it started, would be my guess. What was the first year of the Osbournes, whatever it was called?
Was that what it was called? I don't even remember.
I think it was just called the Osbournes.
I just remember they did Crazy Train with like a very.
02 was the first year.
Wow. Didn't they do like Crazy Train with a very like. Almost kind of like a gigolo kind of feel to it in the beginning?
It was
like an open.
Yeah.
Which was perfect.
Yeah,
perfect.
And it was awesome too, because and was another thing, like, you can't because a lot of the, I always thought this, the British singers, I'm a big Beatles guy, British Invasion guy. Mm-hmm. When they speak, you can hardly understand what they say. And then they sing and it's like crystal clear. And Ozzy would be like, you couldn't understand a word. And then even they would show him going to the studio or do a live concert. And he would sing and you were just like, why doesn't he just sing all the time? He should just, he's crystal clear when he sings.
Crystal's a bit strong. This was also when we learned Sharon Osbourne, because I don't think, I mean, you knew who she was, but nobody knew who she was.
Yeah.
You know, and then they're like throwing like bread at the neighbors and whatnot. Like it was just, I mean, really, I haven't seen the show in 25 years, but like it makes a lasting impression.
No, I
think
no doubt.
There was one, I think she was telling him too, like there was like bubbles with like a concert.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm the Prince of Effing Darkness. I get it, bubbles. Like, what are we doing?
As we remember Ozzy Osbourne, who unfortunately passed away yesterday at the age of 76, one of the great real, I don't know, frontman, lead singers, just personalities in music history. So we'll have a little fun. We'll play a little music. If you want to call about Ozzy, we can. We'll stick to the baseball as well. We'll get to the football as camps are beginning. Jets showed up. And Sauce Gardner is really accommodating of his buddy. So we'll get to that as well. 888-808-1019. And maybe I'll ask you a little bit later. I'm sure you're looking to get out of here. But Derek Jeter avoiding, apparently this is a big story. Derek Jeter not doing the Old Timers Day. Like, real big story. I want to get to it a little bit later. I don't think it's that
big. It's a story.
Yeah, I don't think it's
a story.
To me, I mean, I'll do it again later. Like, I see Jeter. He does the, he's Derek Jeter. He's the, you know, he's on Fox, whatever. Like, to me, like, Old Timers Day was more about seeing guys that you never see or hear from again. Like, that's how I viewed it.
If you weren't doing the 25th anniversary of the 2000 World Series champion, then it's fine. But you are, and he's your captain.
Yeah.
If he's got family issues or whatever, he's got work issues, when he was president or owner of the Marlins, like, those are all fine.
Yeah.
But if it's just because you don't want to be embarrassed to have to put on your pajamas with a belt, then I got a problem with it, because then you don't have to put on your pajamas with the belt. You don't have to play.
Yeah.
But you got to tip the cap. You got to wave. Put on a blue suit. Be Phil Rizzuto for the day. But you got to show up.
All right. Here's Marco, 305. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Got you till 5 in the warm-up show. Be right back after the update.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
When MLB talent takes the field, reactions get loud.
Aaron Judge with a blast.
Oh my God!
Whole scheme. Struck him out with 102.
Laser beam.
Ohtani, inevitable.
Walk off, baby. This is the best.
Witness baseball greatness for yourself at the ballpark. Yeah. Baseball is something else.
Yes.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.